what is smart to me, even though it says it doesn't, you shouldn't throw off your grades, but I don't know. I feel like I think too much about it.
Meaning, so you would think more about it if it says very smart kid, as opposed to say high have high intellectual capacity.
Yeah, because I feel like I would say like, well, to me, what is smart?
Do you define? I want to say like, are you like defining smart as intellectual capacity? Is like that how you like operationalize smart? Or do you feel like intellectual capacity is something completely separate from being smart?
Yeah, I feel like when you say intellectual capacity, it just means like you can retain more. Even though smart is like you can retain more information, but it's just like, I don't know, I just perceive it differently.
All right. Maybe we can put, he's a smart kid, and in parentheses, has high intellectual capacity, even though his grades in school might not reflect this. May not show this. Is that good?
But I don't know. I feel like a special needs person could be, have high intellectual capacity, but might be smarter.
See, I define smart as having high intellectual capacity. That's how I define it. But if you're confused, chances are other people would be confused too. So maybe I should make that clear. Well, the problem with that, though, is that, you know, if you actually change the wording of the items, then you can't really rely on the validity studies that have been conducted on the instrument.
So we can only add to them?
That's what I'd like to do. So, like, for item one, he shows his thoughts and feelings in the way he looks and acts, but he does not talk much about what he thinks and about how he feels. And in parentheses, I can put, prefers nonverbal methods of communication.
So we're definitely going to do that for number one, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that was the one that started it all.
Yeah.
Right. But what we were supposed to do for today, I don't know if everyone did it, was to go over all the items like that and to determine whether you like some aspects of the California Child Cue set in more than you like the items, some of the items in the Common Language Child Cue set. Did people understand that assignment from last week?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to put for number 17 the feminine part too?
Yes. Every note in the California I'm going to add to the Common Language. So 17 and 18, 15, 31, 38.
Can you check 4?
63. What?
Can you check 4?
4.
He gets along well with other people. He gets along well with other children.
Yeah. Like, is it people or children?
Well, I like people because it widens the scope. So I know kids who get along well with other kids. They can't get along with adults.
There's also one about adults, though.
So we keep it as people.
There is one about adults?
There is one about adults, if I remember correctly. Or maybe that's like, do adults seem to like him?
Yeah, that's a very different...
Actually.
That's impression management.
Yeah.
All right.
My personal feelings after going through them is that we should just switch to the original.
But there were some people with very strong feelings the opposite way.
I know. I'm not saying that's why I'm just saying what my personal.
Your personal. I'm wondering whether you can combine the best of both worlds.
I like that idea in theory, but I'm also very aware that we're now making the items much longer. I don't know how, you know, I don't know how that is going to affect people. You know, see the items are much longer, they're just going to...
Okay, how many people know what the word fickle means?
Well, we can talk about what... These
words
mean.
We can
also define the
word.
It's
not that hard.
You can define the words.
Go over transient restaurant.
I feel like the original one's just more specific and kind of easier to memorize. This one's kind of like
word new. Like, almost like too simple.
Ironically, wasn't the second one made to be easier?
But that's what she meant. The original is more specific.
Yeah, I feel like it's easier, like, for me, like, it's more specific, so I know. But this one, like, I don't know. I mean, I'll use either one. I just like it.
All right, here's what we'll do. I'm going to have Patrick make up a bunch of... You like this job, though, right? Like making the cards?
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure that everyone gets 100 items.
I will.
Okay, thanks. We're going to get new decks, and for next year, I think if I repeat these assignments for your class, for the course next year, I'll have them use this one.
Interested to see, like, if once we have these decks, just like you sort of
the second thing I was going to say. So
yeah.
Then, what you just queue sorted for today, he's not going to have them ready until probably next week at a minimum, right?
I come on Wednesdays.
Huh?
Yeah, every Wednesday I come in. Any other time, I mean, I can, if you give me the work now or like on Wednesday, I think come like on Friday or Saturday.
Okay, so. So, theoretically, they could be ready by next Wednesday.
Yeah, if I get the work, like, before then.
Yeah, I can give it to you tonight.
Sure.
All right. And then, I just put in an order. We have enough index cards. Holy crap, we got thousands.
I told you, not to return them.
you knew better. So, yes, Sarah.
So, are we going to use all of them? And you and Ari can pick since we're going to have both decks.
No, you're not going to pick. I'm going to pick for you. Okay? So, the next time we do a Q sort, we're going to do the California Child Q set, the one that has the shorter items. You have a copy of that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
The harder I
know. The harder, see?
I'm not saying that my view.
You're spearheading this movement, by the way.
Yeah, I was unaware of that. I'm really
you're
sorry.
Spearheading.
Well,
you're spearheading.
Give it a shot.
So if it fails miserably, you know whom to blame.
I'm really sorry. I'm going to love them both.
So what we'll do is we'll try it with the old Q sort, which is new to you, California, and see how it goes. What we can do is we'll go over the items and we'll see if there's any kind of language that isn't easily understood. By the way, you also have the common language, so if you don't understand an item, you can refer to the common language and see what it says.
I think he wants to compare.
I think that's what
he
wants.
I don't
think we're making a choice yet. He just wants to see like what... how it's going to
be.
I'm going to look at this hard one, and then I'm going to be like, okay, let me go to this one. And that's what it means, and I'm sorting. And it's basically the same thing. I'm going to be sorting this with this one again. So half of us will sort with this one, half of us will sort with this one.
I mean, what if we like...
No, you can't do that.
But
that we can't do.
Because we're not going to be comfortable with this one.
Well, let's go over the items, and we'll talk about them today, okay? And then try using that deck, and if you really get stuck... look at an item on the common language, but I really want you to try using the California. That's not for next week, but the week after, because you're going to get the new decks next week. And then we'll see how that goes. And then we'll make a decision. You have these kinds of conversations in your lab?
We don't have two options.
You don't have options. You know, they're lucky to have, we're using a Q-sort deck in Brazil called the Child Psychotherapy Process Q-Set. And it was just translated into Portuguese maybe 2 years ago.
Yes.
That's all they got.
Simpler.
They don't have the CCQ. They don't have the California Common Language. They don't have all that stuff.
We have the meaning of some items because some people interpret in a
differently.
Way.
Right.
So we have to discuss to check if we are understanding
the same way. I mean, this is, Angel, this is all part of doing research. Not everybody's going to read an item the same way, and that's why we have these meetings, to talk about what the common meaning is for each item. And it seems as though a majority of people prefer the California to the common language. So I do want to see how that works out. And what we'll do is we'll have everybody try the same video as this past week, Q-sorted using the California, and see how that works. Okay.
We won't be Q-sorting this week.
Huh?
We won't be Q-sorting this week.
No. Right, because unless he has some kind of superhuman powers, do you?
No.
Okay.
I'd be able to sell it.
Could I check?
Let's make that
clear. I don't know, like you were a superhero or something. I don't know. If he were, then I could give you the deck tonight. I do, and I do have actually one California deck in here. So if you wanted to do it, you'd be the only one.
Okay.
Huh?
I'd be okay with that.
You'd be. Actually, these are kind of cute. The my colleague at Williams sent me this. The California Child Q Sort 100 items. Look at this. Take note.
Oh my God!
Oh, this. Wait a minute. These are the different categories. See, then you could lay out the category 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh,
but you guys.
Oh wow, that's nice.
Well,
like
I guess I could make that with posters.
Yeah.
I like the size.
Is admired and sought by other children.
Yeah.
Tends to keep thoughts, feelings, or products to self. What are products?
Things that he makes.
Huh?
The things that he makes.
Well, is that number 8?
Yeah,
what is it?
Number 8.
That's what I think.
Thoughts and feelings, it says.
Feelings,
or products.
Products,
drawings.
That's true.
That's how
I'm. Yeah. All right. It's helpful and cooperative. You see, so they're very cute cards. Much cuter. I'm sorry, Patrick. But, you know, you were handicapped because, A, I gave you really large index cards, and, B, the wording for this one is much more cumbersome, as you can see. So you'd like to try this?
I'm not doing it with that right now.
I'll wait.
So you'll wait. Okay, you'll wait. All right. So I'll keep mine.
I do have a question, though.
Okay.
Since you mentioned number 8, I pointed out the word tens.
The word?
Tens.
Tens?
Like tend to keep spots.
T-E-N-D-S. Tens.
Yes, tens.
Yes.
The other one just straight jumps to keep lights. So tens, is that like...
Tens, yeah, frequency, exactly. Like tens, like it's a habit. It's likely that he does something.
I have one for.
Like I tend to scratch my head when I'm thinking. I tend to do it.
So it doesn't really.
It's not a hard and fast rule.
It's a tendency.
There you go.
Well, I know what tendency means.
Okay, well, tens is the verb for tendency.
No, obviously, I know that too. But it does make a difference when you're coding. Like, he definitely does this, or like, he tends to do this.
Or he likes to.
Because one of them mentions it doesn't matter frequency. Like, frequency doesn't matter.
Right.
If it doesn't say tens, does that mean frequency doesn't matter?
No, frequency,
frequency
does matter. Tens means he's... It's probable that he's going to do it. Doesn't mean all the time he's going to do it. Like, I don't scratch my head every time I'm thinking, but sometimes I will.
Yes.
I tend to do it, but it doesn't mean I'll do it all the time.
So I shouldn't think
it's a trait.
Right. It's probable. But it might not happen every time.
I understand that. Okay. Thank you.
No, but if you don't know a word, it's important that you ask.
I just want to know if it doesn't say tens, do I not think about frequency?
If it doesn't say tens.
Like if it's more general.
Because there's one that says
develops genuine and close relationships.
Don't think about the frequency.
Right.
Oh, 18. That's what you mean?
Frequency
or amount of negative feeling is not an issue. So when it says tens and it talks about frequency,
it's a different sort.
Is that telling me to focus on frequency? And ones that don't say tens, does that mean am I confusing tens?
I think you're overthinking it.
I think you're overthinking.
Am I right? Okay, so here we go. This is what ten means in this dictionary. To be disposed or inclined to action, operation, or effect to do something. Inclined. You know what that word means?
Yes.
To be inclined to do it. You're inclined.
I know what tens means.
Like when I'm hungry, I
that's
tend to
knew,
eat.
That's how I knew it was correlated to frequency. Nobody understands me.
No,
no,
I
understand. I get it.
She
knows
what the word tends means. There's just one item that says frequency doesn't matter.
It's
a
question
if you
of
look
how many
at
times
18,
it happens,
I think
or is it a general?
Yeah,
thing that
I think more of your question is actually like, how would you
when do I
consider
18?
Frequency?
Mm-hmm.
When it says tens.
Yes.
If it doesn't say tens,
give me an example.
Well, like, how about like this one? Develops genuine and close relationships versus
tends
to develop genuine. I'm feeling like it's the same idea.
Yeah, it's
there.
Pretty much the same.
Okay.
You know, Block could have written tends to develop genuine and close relationships. See, I think because if he had just said keeps thoughts and feelings or products to self,
you would
not
assume
kids don't do that all the time. You know, some kid, you know, every kid will share a thought every, even now and then. But do they tend to do that?
Okay, that.
All right.
Thank you.
All
right. So we're no longer giving you words that we weren't
in there. Huh?
Like, you know how you said you were going to put little notes at the end? We're not
going to... No, we're gonna go with Julia here.
Oh,
she's driving the bus now.
Okay.
First she had a bad trauma class. Now she's getting traumatized in the lab. It just never ends.
So much trauma. And then you do this, which reminds me of SAT prep. Like, why would you do this?
GRE tab.
One thing after another.
All right, I'm gonna close this window. All right. So let's go over the items one by one. We've got plenty of time. We've got 45 minutes. Let's just go through these items. And we got 45 minutes. So if we take about 30 seconds per item, we should get through them all.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
What is the ideal number of correlation like? That you would like us to be in.
Not
exactly. Yeah.
I think, well, if you just look down here, I'm using Vera as the gold standard, and that's why I put her first. So you can look at the correlations. The person who had the highest is actually, oh, wait. I had included yours. I'm sorry. I don't know.
It's okay.
It's weird. Anyway, AT. So you tend to look at this session, this child in the session, in a way most similar to Vera. Now, you know, Vera's not perfect. She
sure.
She'd be the first to agree with that.
Yeah, yeah.
No. So, you know, I'm looking for, ultimately, we'd like to get correlations in the 0.7 range.
0.7.
Ultimately. But we're not even close. We haven't even agreed on a common coding system yet.
In class, though.
Huh?
We've been, like, consistently doing that in class, like with the ones we've sort of in class.
Yeah.
But
the difference is that in class, you actually have written up a case formulation.
Yeah, that's the difference.
You know, and it has all the information there. In these sessions, you just have a 45-minute snapshot. I think this is a point you made a few weeks ago. And you don't have anything else other than what you see in 45 minutes. And if the kid doesn't show 95% of these behaviors, all the items are going to go in the middle piles. And then what are you going to put in the extremes? And then if you don't know, you're going to guess. And that's where reliability gets screwed up, when people start guessing. People start guessing when you have only a little bit of information to go on. And I think with the assignments in class, you have a fair amount of information to go on. You got a nice chapter on a child, and you're Q-sorting the chapter, basically, as well as the author's impressions of the child. You don't have that to go on with these assignments. I think this is a much more difficult assignment than what you guys are doing in class.
Yeah, I agree.
And then we're getting all these people to try to come to some consensus and reliability, it's going to be a challenge. But ultimately, I'm looking for 0.7. If we can't do that, we can't do that, and it was a failed experiment. But I think it's worth trying. There's nothing there's nobody doing this that I know of, maybe you do, nobody doing this kind of work in psychotherapy research where you're actually assessing personality traits within the session. I don't know of anybody who's ever tried that. There are people who are doing it in adult psychotherapy. They're using the SWAP 200.
Mm-hmm.
You're familiar with that instrument?
Yeah.
And they're using it with psychotherapy sessions
mm-hmm.
with adults. Nobody's doing it with kids. So I thought, hey, this might be worth... Because
yeah.
I think this Q-Sort deck is the closest in nature to the SWAP. And I emailed Drew Weston, who created the SWAP,
mm-hmm.
and I asked him if there's a child or even an adolescent version. He said, nope, nothing.
Unfortunately.
Right. Right. I don't have time to create a whole new instrument.
I was
about to say. No, I barely have time to see my daughter. But this already exists, and it has a lot of similarities to the SWAP.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, let's give it a shot, see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
If we can't, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But we would like to see reliability in a 0.7 range, ultimately. I don't think it's impossible, but then again, I've never tried using this Q-Sort technique with psychotherapy sessions before. So it remains to be seen, you know, whether it's truly possible to apply this instrument to psychotherapy, child psychotherapy sessions. All right, so let's go through these items. Prefers nonverbal methods of communication. We went over that one, right? We beat it to death. Is considerate and thoughtful of other children. We know what that means?
So we're doing children or people for that one?
No, we're going to try the California child Q set.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm asking. So
we're not going to make any changes. We're not going to make any changes. Yeah. Okay. Is warm and responsive. Responsive mean, you know, responding to others. Okay. Gets along well with other children. Everybody got that one? Is admired and sought out by other children. Right? Sought out. When you seek out somebody, you're trying to find them and connect with them. 6. Is helpful and cooperative. Everybody got that one? 7. Seeks physical contact with others. Touching, hugging, holding, being held. Everybody got that one? Now me.
Would the opposite be true, too, if they're physically aggressive? I don't think the opposite.
Well,
or
if you...
the parentheses define what that...
Yeah, if you look at, if you
okay.
look at
yeah.
the type of physical contact that's listed in the parentheses, you can see they're all loving kinds of gestures,
right.
not
mm-hmm.
hating.
Not aggressive. Right.
Right.
Okay. In this one, it says
physical affection.
What's that?
There's
a card for aggressive.
No,
exactly.
Yeah, I know.
8, tends to keep thoughts, feelings, or products to self. I think products is one of those words that's confusing. I would agree with Julia that products would mean like pencils, pens, papers, drawings, that kind of a thing.
Sessions?
No, products means like pencils, papers, pens, drawings.
Their own possessions,
right?
Yes, their own.
Okay.
All right. 9, develops genuine and close relationships. Everybody understand that one? 10, has transient interpersonal relationships, is fickle. Angel, what does fickle mean? We went over this. It means that sometimes they like you, sometimes they don't, they run hot and cold. Subject to change. And if we look at the common language, friendships don't last long, changes friends a lot. Subject to change.
Transient is like very short-lived.
Yeah. Like transient...
tick.
What?
Tick?
I don't know. Tick disorder.
No, when is transient is like another term for a homeless person, right? Transient?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? But transient also.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand.
Because they move from place to place. They don't have a home. So these folks don't have a home in relationships. How'd you like that segue? All right, so we're good with 10? 11, attempts to transfer blame to others. I didn't do it. She did it. All right? 12, reverts to more immature behavior when under stress. Whines, sucks thumb, has tantrums, etc. When placed very low, meaning very uncharacteristic, it implies pseudo-mature behavior under stress. Pseudo means what? You know? Fake.
I do have a question about this one.
Yes.
So what is the youngest we can sort to? Well, like, what's the youngest child we can sort?
I think you can use this for as children as young as three.
Because, you know, this isn't more, I mean, like, this is pretty typical of first three-year-old behavior. Is it? I mean, is it?
Remember I told this story in class. I was in grad school, and I was in a master's program in developmental psych at Columbia, and there was a doctoral student in developmental psych, and I walked into a student lounge, and she was working very hard on something, very concentrated. She was sucking her thumb.
Right.
You remember that?
Yes.
She reverted to a very, very immature behavior when under stress. She was like 20-something.
But what I mean is, like, if we are Q-sorting a three-year-old, and we see that he's having a tantrum.
Well, okay.
Me reverting,
that's just where it's at.
Right, but even three-year-olds.
That's still a bit.
They have a little bit of stress,
okay,
and they tantrum more easily.
Okay.
They tend to tantrum.
So, like, if you had a three-year-old that was tantruming a lot, you would put this higher up, even though that's sort of at the stage he is at. Anyway,
yes.
Really like okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I think
wait, so.
So
what exactly does pseudo mature mean? Like,
okay, pseudo mature means like acting more mature than you would expect for a child that age. So, for example, I read a book over the summer about a 2-year-old in therapy who had lost his mother in a car accident. And he was acting as if nothing was wrong, and he was going around trying to console the other family members about the loss.
2 years old.
Acting pseudo-mature, like, no, I can handle this. You guys are all cracking up, very sad. So through therapy, he was able to mourn the loss of his mother.
So what does it mean by, like, when placed very low? What does that mean? I don't really get
like when put in, like, the 1, 2, 3 pile.
When placed low in the, you know, your 9 piles from 1 to 9.
Okay.
So when you're placing, when you feel like this item isn't characteristic at all, so it belongs in piles 1, 2, or 3, when placed very low, it implies pseudo-mature behavior under stress. So if it's really, you know, maybe it doesn't apply, so you put it in a middle pile. But let's say if you see a young child acting really mature when they're stressed out, like the child I just explained to you, then you would consider it for a low, like a 1 or a 2 rating.
Okay, I got it.
All right, there's certain items like that on the CPQ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm glad we're doing this. That was 12. 13, characteristically pushes and tries to stretch limits, sees what he or she can get away with. Anybody have any trouble with that one? Okay. 14, eager to please. All right. 15, shows concern for moral issues. For example, reciprocity, fairness, and welfare of others. Reciprocity means if it's good enough for me, it's good enough for you. You know, if I get something, you should also have it. If I get a cookie at snack time, you should also get a cookie. For children, this item shows developmental trends. As at early ages, this item would be placed low for most children. It would be expected to rise in salience, meaning importance over time. So you wouldn't expect a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old to have concern for moral issues too much. You know, if Carlin sees me eating a grape, she'll just come over and take the grape from me. She doesn't have any concern for moral issues, right? But if she did that and she was 14, I'd say, hold up there, sister. What are you doing? And she should have more concern for what, you know, ownership is, and if someone's holding a piece of food, that food belongs to them automatically. It's just not a free-for-all in life. So.
Like, I was with like my 13-year-old cousin. I like, took him to Coney Island, and we were having a really great time. And he suddenly looks at me. He doesn't say anything, but he gives me everything that he's holding and then just keeps walking away. And I'm like, oh, it's my turn to hold all of your stuff now. I see how it is. Like, not a word, just...
See, now he's 13. You would expect him to have some concern for moral issues, so...
I expected him to be like, can you hold this? Don't...
So for him, you might want to put that particular item in a pile 3.
Yes.
Right? Would you agree?
I would agree.
Okay.
Sort of my cousin.
You could see how it goes. Don't tell him. So we understand that item? So for young kids, you tend to give them a pass. Right? But as a kid gets older, you don't give them a pass, and if they're showing lack of concern for moral issues, you tend to put it in piles 1 or 2 or something like that. But for a kid who's 3 years old, you would never put it in pile 1 or 2 or 3. So when Carlin takes the grape out of my hand, still I put her in pile 5.
Wait. What?
If Carlin takes the grape out of my hand, it's not an item that I'm going to really... It's not a salient item for her. She's only 2. So I put it in pile 5.
That's how it says to me here.
What's it say?
It says, at early ages, this item would be placed low.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, low for most children. So, doesn't show concern.
So you would put it in 1, 2, or 3?
Yes. Yes. And then as they get older, they have the option
right.
of being placed high. For your, in your case, though, with your cousin, he'd still be in pile 1, 2, or 3. Sorry about that. Thank you for correcting me.
So what's the age that you would start assuming?
You know, they don't, it's not that operationalized.
Okay.
So it's just kind of a...
Yeah, I get that.
You know, for what we're doing, you're going to be Q-sorting the same kid time after time after time. So I'll let you know the age. I mean, the age of the girl you're Q-sorting for the last 2 times is 7.
She's
11.
She's
got to
be at least 10 or 11.
She just got her period.
Yeah.
She's not even 2 years. She said that she was 9.
She's
been waiting. She's been waiting for 3 years.
Yeah.
So that makes her 12.
Yeah.
No, I don't think
she's
as old as 12.
No, she's 11.
She's
11.
She said 2 years she was waiting, I think. And she was in
but
third
she
grade.
She
said
that
she
found out
about
when she was in third grade.
She found out
that
she was waiting for 2 years and she's in fifth grade. She must be 10 or
11.
I could find out right now, but...
It's not 7.
No, there's a reason why I said 7. I can't share that with you because then I'd be giving you too much information about the case, but I trust your... So it's 11, so...
10.
So you would have... This particular item you could place, you know, no lower than, let's say... Well, no higher than, let's say, 7, probably, right?
I
would guess. But she could be rated much lower. Like if she punches the therapist.
I thought you worked with her. Did you see that?
No. You see me in the video?
No. Well, you said that, well, you just said that you knew what she had, so I just...
I don't want to share any more details about how I might be related to this person. So well, the reason is that A, confidentiality issues, and B, I got to keep you guys as blind as possible, otherwise it might affect your ratings, right? So people have asked me what her diagnosis is, and that's going to totally bias you if I told you that right now. 16, tends to be pleased with and proud of his or her products and accomplishments. Again, products would be drawings, Play-Doh sculptures, owl dissections, you know, whatever might be something to be proud of. Everybody understand that one? Common language says he's proud of the things he's done and made. All right. 17. For girls, behaves in a feminine style and manner. All right. So if it's a girl, which in this case it is, but we're going to be Q-sorting a boy later. So for boys, behaves in a masculine style and manner. The cultural and subcultural standards should be applied. Both of these kids, the one you're currently Q-sorting, the one you will be Q-sorting, are from American, you know, low to upper middle income subsections of our culture. Yes.
Well, what do you do though with, like, say it's like we're sort of in this like American culture, but we're Q-sorting now a child.
Oh, Patricia finally arrived.
Great. But we're Q-sorting like a child who, like, in another culture, who in that culture may not be acting masculine or feminine, but it looks different to us. I like can't think of an example because I just don't even know. But you know what I'm trying to ask?
If you were going to be Q-sorting an Aborigine?
I understand. Or like, because, like, let's say, like, you know, for the other one, when, like, you say the moral part, right? Like, maybe in, like, maybe, like, Asian cultures, it might not be so bad if, like, you just hand it, like, a child might hand the person, like, all their things because you might take care of it if it was a boy instead of a girl. Like, I don't know, does that make any sense? Like, maybe, like, boys in a different culture, like, if they act out or something, it might be okay compared to if a girl did, when we're not talking when we're talking about like the moral stuff, like fairness or something, like,
right.
It might be different for a guy than a girl.
It might be, but you know, we're talking about two kids here, and both of them, I promise you, are pretty straightforward as far as femininity and masculinity are concerned. And also, I don't think they're going to vary that widely from session to session. You know, there's some items that are just going to go in this pretty much the same pile every single time. Right, I think that's one of them. 18, expresses negative feelings toward peers directly and openly. People understand that one? Yes, Anna?
Yeah, we're good.
Here's a frequency note for you.
Yeah.
I was thinking of you. Frequency or amount of negative feeling is not an issue. This item is concerned with directness of expression.
Yeah, because that one specifically said something about frequency.
Right, so it's how direct, it's a qualitative.
Yeah.
How direct is the person in expressing negative feelings? I hate you! See, I only did it once, but you're going to remember that for the rest of the lab. Right, so that would be scored very high. All right, even though it happened one time.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, frequency or amount is not an issue. It's concerned with directness of expression. All right. So what I just did, very embarrassingly, was being very direct and hating somebody. 19.
Sorry.
Is...
Yeah. So directness of expression means like the level of affect.
Mm-hmm.
So like how clear it is.
Well, I hate you. I'm being very direct in what I'm feeling.
So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Exactly. And I could go, ah! But that's not
I
really
don't know
clear.
What that means.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not very direct.
Right.
It's kind of scattershot.
Like, I don't want to see you. I don't want to talk to you. You know, it's a little bit. I don't know.
That's not as direct.
It's not as direct as.
Right, I don't want to see you, I don't want to talk to you, I hate you. Can't get a little, you can't get much more direct than that.
Or I love you, I love you.
But that would be for positive.
Right.
Yeah. All right, is open and straightforward. When placed in a low pile, implies sneakiness or deceit. Right, so somebody might not, maybe open sometimes, straightforward sometimes, sometimes not. That's a middle pile. But if they're actually sneaky, deceitful, they're the opposite of being open and straightforward. That goes in piles 1, 2, and 3. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. 20, tries to take advantage of others.
Good.
Yeah.
Everybody got that one? Tries to be the center of attention, showing off, demonstrating accomplishments, volunteering, etc. Got that one?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Tries to manipulate others by ingratiation. Okay, now, ingratiation, there's a word, right? What's it mean?
It's like to be charming to someone to, like, kind of get your way. It's like, I don't know, like, you can sort of be ingratiating towards a teacher or professor.
Whoa, where did that come from? You know what I'm talking about. Or, like, if you're, like, with your... Like, I would always, like, try to, like, if I wanted something from my mom, I'd be like, you are such a good mom, and I really love you.
Wow. So I know what to look for.
Brown nose.
There you go. Obsequious. To establish oneself in the favor of good graces of someone, especially by deliberate effort. Does that help? To establish oneself in the favor or good graces of someone. Oh, you look so beautiful today. Oh, by the way, can you do this for me? Right? So I'm ingratiating myself to you so that you will do something for me. All right? Angel does that all the time.
That's what I just told
you. All right. So that's ingratiate. Charm, coyness, seductiveness. 23 is fearful and anxious. Everybody got that one? 24 tends to brood and ruminate or worry. This means like go off by yourself and be thinking and worrying and thinking and worrying and really not be so aware of your outside environment. Let's see what the common language says to do that.
Worries about things for a long time.
Yeah, worries about things for a long time. Okay. Everybody got that one?
Yes.
All right. 25, uses and responds to reason.
Wow. What's the...
Thinks things out. You can explain things to him like you can to a grown-up. Like, okay, so let me think. Carlin wet her panties. Yesterday. This just happened yesterday. That's why it's fresh in my mind. But she didn't want to go to the potty. So the babysitter and I were there, and we said, okay, no, Carlin, if you want to wear big girl panties, you have to use the potty. If you don't want to use big girl panties, we have to put a diaper back on you. So if you don't want to go on the toilet, on the potty, we're going to put a diaper back on you. What would you want to do? She said, no, I want to use the potty. She doesn't want to use diapers anymore. She wants to use the big girl panties. She's 2 years old. We were able to use reason to help her to figure out.
Very well. She's
very
impressed.
Well, she's a very impressive kid. I mean, I wish I could take responsibility for her. I mean, she's just kind of raising herself. So does that make sense? Uses in response to reason? Okay. By the way, Carlin is coming to campus on November 12th.
That's, is that the day before your workshop?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it's 2 weeks from tomorrow. So if you're around, especially in the morning, stop by this room on Thursday morning. Say hello.
Is she blonde?
Yes.
Because I saw blonde baby with...
Lolita. When?
Like last year.
That's
like spring.
That was my daughter.
Yeah, she's looking.
Unless she has some other child, I don't know. She is cute. All right, so we got that one by example. 26 is physically active. That's pretty self-explanatory. 27 is visibly deviant from peers in appearance, size, or physical condition. For example, markedly tall or short, under or overweight, physically handicapped, anything that's not normal All right. The common language says looks different from other kids his own age. Deviant meaning different. You got that? All right. 28. Is vital, energetic, lively, full of life. All right. 29. Protective of others. All right. I think we got that. 30. Tends to arouse liking and acceptance in adults. So, it's a child who adults just fall in love with the child. Easy to like. Like Carlin.
How would we tell?
Okay, well, in a session, does the therapist seem to like the kid?
In love would be like more characteristic. Like would be more.
Yes. Right.
Could it also be if the child reports like, oh, he's just lovely and so wonderful?
Yes. We're going to count. Although we don't know whether they're telling the truth or not, or whether they're delusional, because it's an empirical study and we're trying to establish reliability, we're just going to count everything like that. Hmm? 31 shows a recognition of the feelings of others, is empathic. So let's say the therapist stubs her toe in session, and the child comes over, oh, you okay? That must have really hurt when you stubbed your toe right there. This item would go fairly high, all right? For children, this item shows developmental trends. At early ages, this item would be placed low for most children. You know, most children, you know, like Carlin, give you another example. Again, yesterday, I was home, and she was on top of me, and she was opening my mouth. She wanted to see my teeth and my tongue and was exploring. This is what kids do, apparently. And she was like really opening my jaw like it hurt. She had no clue that was hurtful. So I said, ow. So there was no awareness, but she's only 2 years old. So how would she know that hurts when you do that? She wasn't trying to be, you know, sadistic. I don't think she was. There could be some oral rage. But you would expect a child to have the capacity for empathy as they get older. All right, and so their ability to get higher ratings would increase with age. 32 tends to give, lend, and share. All right, and if they. What?
Nothing.
What?
I laughed when I saw tens.
Oh, okay, all right. So tens to give, lend, and share. Now, if the person doesn't want to give, lend, or share, let's say the child is making a drawing and the therapist wants to contribute to the drawing, like wants it to be a joint activity, and the child says, no, you can't use my pencil. Then you put it in a low pile. All right. Cries easily. So the child sneezes and then starts crying because they sneezed and cry easily. 34, restless and fidgety. Everybody understand that one? 35, inhibited and constricted. Holds things in. He has a hard time expressing himself. He's a little bit uptight. Inhibited and constricted. Right? Michael, you're smiling. What?
No. Just happy.
Just happy. All right. See, that's how he responded to the trauma class, the developmental class in trauma. 36 is resourceful in initiating activities. Everybody understand that one? So knows how to start things. Like, gets a basketball game together. They know how to do that. 37, likes to compete, tests, and compares itself against others. All right. 38, has unusual thought processes, thinks and perceives in uncommon ways. And common language says, has an unusual way of thinking about things, for better or for worse, he puts things together in his head in a different way than other people would. Can we kind of, one of you guys had a problem or question about that a couple weeks ago. It might have been in class, I don't know.
One of us, three of us? Or
yeah, I think one of the three. No?
No, that's been pretty clear to me, but I'll try and give an example so to see if I have it right. Like, if, say, the kid thinks that he or she has powers that he or she does not have, would that be part of that? Or is that more benign? Is it more like...
I think it's more benign than that. That sounds psychotic to me.
Is it more like,
when he's like talking about his friends, he has ADHD, so he's very, very hyperactive, and when he talks about his friends, you know, it's not so much as like he wants to talk to people, or he wants to hang out with people, you know, more like it's like, I have friends, so I don't walk to school by myself. You know, it's like a little off, or like, I would expect a normative, like, 13-year-old to just be like, yeah, I like friends because I like hanging out and I like having people to talk to, and he'll say something like, I like having friends because what did he say to me? He said something about, like, so, like, the attention isn't always on him. Or, like, in class, like, the teachers won't always call on him. They'll call on his friends. And I thought that was, like, you know,
it's just an unusual way of looking at the world.
Right.
I'll give you another example. Again, Carlin. Okay. So we took her to a Mets game. Sorry, Angel. Took her to a Mets game in August. Huh?
Sorry about yesterday.
Yeah, I know. I stayed up at 2. Yeah, I did. Very painful. I'm paying for it today. But so we took her to a Mets game, and you know who the Mets mascot is? It's Mr. Met, right? And she just fixated on Mr. Met during the game. So they, you know, the concession people come through, and this one guy was selling Mr. Met dolls. Did you see Mr. Met when you came to see us?
I did.
Okay, you'll see you on Saturday. Mr. Met, it's only $10, bought Mr. Met, and she just fell in love with Mr. Met. Carried Mr. Met around everywhere she went for like a good month and a half. It's only been the last couple of weeks that Mr. Met is no longer her favorite thing. But then she has hundreds of children's books, right? But she kept focusing on this one children's book. And it's not even appropriate for the weather or anything, Frosty the Snowman. And she just wanted Frosty the Snowman to be read over and over and over to her. And, you know, I was very puzzled by that. I said, you know, why do you like Frosty? Can you guess?
Oh, looks like
Mr. Met. She said, it's Mr. Met. Mm-hmm. Now, I never would have guessed that.
A hat? Yeah, Mr.
But it's a circular white face. Perfectly circular white face. And so she thinks Mr. Met becomes frosty in the wintertime and snow.
That's cute.
It is cute, but it's an unusual way of looking at the world. Right? It's very unusual. None of us would have thought of that, right? That's what I think what this item is capturing. You know, an unusual way of looking at the world that you wouldn't call psychotic or anything, but just not everybody would see it that way. Does that help? So when you think of this item, think Mr. Met. All right. Where are we?
39.
Yes, 39. Tends to become rigidly repetitive or immobilized when under stress. So some kids, when they're really stressed out, they do the same thing over and over again. They'll play with a toy train, go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, or they just sit still and don't do anything when they're so stressed out, they freeze. People understand that? 40 is curious and exploring, eager to learn, open to new experiences. Everybody can visualize that. 41 is persistent in activities, does not give up easily.
Okay. I wouldn't have thought that when you place it very high, it implies perseveration. I would have just said that's really persistent. It's a good thing, but.
Yeah. But what if somebody is just so persistent they just keep doing it?
Yeah, like they're perseverating.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then.
Which you might see a lot more if he's writing an autistic child or something.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So you want to think about that one. And then it would be, I would say 39 and 41 might be in fairly similar piles. Although 39 is specifically related to stress situations, whereas 41 isn't. Okay. 42 is an interesting, arresting child. Arresting. What does that mean? Arresting. People
know you keep your attention.
Yeah, it just grabs your attention. Very arresting.
Can we talk about that one? Can it
sure.
be both positive and negative?
Can you?
So, like, if a child is incredibly skilled at playing the piano.
Mm-hmm.
Is an interesting arresting child,
mm-hmm.
or the child. I don't think you can go in the reverse direction. I don't know. Like if, like,
how about a boring, dull child? That would be the opposite.
Yeah. Right. They're not arresting any
of that child. I think if a child is like aggressive or hyperactive or something, like it's still interesting.
Can they be arresting?
I don't think so.
Arresting is just an adjective that really suggests capturing one's attention. Like when you're under arrest, you're captured, you're going to jail, you're confined. This kind of a child is confining your attention to them. Your attention has been captured, is under arrest.
No, I know what arresting means.
Oh, okay.
It's like wondering. Rather than arresting, it might be alarming or shocking or...
Yeah, I wouldn't call it shocking, but capturing one's attention. Like a kid who tips over the table in your office.
Right.
They're capturing your attention, but it's not interesting.
Right.
It's provocative.
I wouldn't
call that interesting or arresting, even though they're still capturing your attention. You can ask.
Yeah. Okay.
Come on.
No, it doesn't have to do with something else.
All right. 43, can recoup or recover after stressful experiences. So this has to do with resilience and just bouncing back after having a bad stressful experience. Oh, it says here in the common language, bounce back. So People got that?
Yes.
44. When in conflict or disagreement with others, tends to yield and give in. So in a disagreement with somebody, okay, let's do it your way. All right. 45. Tends to withdraw and disengage when under stress. So kids who, rather than fight or give in and go along, they just withdraw and don't engage at all. So if a patient crawls under the table when maybe a therapist said it's time for us to leave, I'm going on vacation next week, that's tending to withdraw and disengage when under stress. 46, tends to go to pieces under stress, becomes rattled and disorganized. People have an image of that? Go to pieces is kind of an old-fashioned term, right? 47, has high standards of performance for self. Or he has very high expectations, right? 48, seeks reassurance from others about his or her worth or adequacy. Did I do this right? Did I do this okay? How's this drawing? Does it look good? Do you like it? All right. 49, shows specific mannerisms or behavioral rituals. For example, taps fingers, has tics, bites nails, bites lips, thumb sucking, stuttering, etc. All right. 50, has bodily symptoms as a function of tension and conflict. Headaches, stomach aches, nausea, etc. We call this somaticizing. People take their anxiety and they put it in their body, and so they have all kinds of aches and pains. Okay? So let's stop there. We've done 50. We're halfway, and we'll do the other half next week. And then by that time, Patrick will have the new Q-sets. Woohoo, Patrick!
Thank you.
It's validation. Thank you, everybody. This is a pencil, actually.
Oh.
What?
Is that over there?